What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the We Got Now podcast. We had fall break, and so we missed a couple of Sundays, but we are back with our senior spotlights. And this Sunday, we have Peyton Conklin from Callaway County High School, senior in our ministry. And church friends, you're gonna love Peyton so much. So welcome to the We Got Now podcast. What's up, Peyton?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. So tell us, okay, a little bit about you. Now, I said your name, your grade, and your school.
Okay.
But what are some things outside of church that we might find you at? What are some things you love to do?
So a lot of the time I'm with friends hanging out. I'm involved in FBLA at school, so that will take up a lot of my time. And then I also work part-time, so I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, so friends, FBLA, work. What drew you into FBLA? Because we have a couple of students that are FBLA.
Yes. I think for my freshman year is when I started, and I just started because that's what everyone was joining, and I was like, I guess I'll join it, but I didn't start competing until sophomore year once I actually knew what I was doing.
Okay.
So, but I've really enjoyed it since. I've really liked it, and I love the business teachers.
Okay, cool. Cool. And Callaway County High School. So we also have, Briley is in FBLA.
Yes.
Is there any other in our ministries that are in FBLA?
Me, Briley, and Hallie, we're actually all like a team for our competition. And then I'm trying to think of other people in FBLA. Layla might be in FBLA, I think. I'm not sure, actually.
Okay. And I know like Emma at Murray, and we got some others at Murray. Yeah. So no, that's cool. I didn't realize, honestly, until we did these senior spotlights, that so many of our students did FBLA. So that's cool.
Yes, at regionals, it's always fun to see everyone from all schools, like Faith.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Oh, that is a good time. That's a good time. So you've probably heard me ask this question before on this podcast with the senior spotlights, and it's a tough one. If you haven't yet, I'm throwing you under the bus here. I want you to describe, the point here is we want to get to know you, okay? And so what I want you to try to do, and as creatively as possible, I want you to try to describe yourself to me and to the church in three words or less.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so I've been asking around because I wasn't entirely sure what I should say, but I think I would say I'm pretty encouraging. I try to be a light to other people, which haven't always been super encouraging, but through my walk with the Lord, I've been able to be encouraged, which just allows me to pour out to other people.
Yeah.
And then I would say I'm intentional. Like, I can go from like very crazy, very fun, to just like someone mentions, like, you know, I kind of want to know about Jesus, and I'm like locked in. I'm like, okay, so like, when do you want to give your life to Christ?
Lock in.
And then I would say I would say I'm kind of funny, like sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, especially around friends. Like, yeah. I think it's fun. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So encouraging, intentional, and funny.
Yeah.
I think those are three words that absolutely describe you. And a church, I've gotten to know Peyton for a long time now. So how long have you been in our ministry? Has it been basically all 7 years? Is that right?
Yes, I've been. Well, I started coming to Hardin in fourth grade, and then I've started like Hardin students since sixth grade.
Okay,
so
very cool.
I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, so I've known Peyton for a long time. I've known her back when I was just an intern under Nick. You were just a sixth grader. And so I've gotten to see her, which would give a testament to this here soon, see her grow in the Lord and grow to love the Lord and grow to be a light for Jesus. And so those words, right, encouraging, intentional, and funny, absolutely do describe you. And so, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So let's do a lightning round, okay?
All right.
A lightning round. Essentially what we're going to do is it's going to be just a speed round of some of your favorite things. It's just... you can see here, I don't have anything. I'm just, top of my head, I'm just going to think of things. Like, tell me your favorite blank, and you just, first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Okay, tip of your tongue. That's what we're rocking with, okay? And it may be an opportunity for me to make fun of you, which is, one of my love languages. So, all right. Peyton, let's do favorite school subject. We'll start easy.
I would say history. I mean, I'm not that great at it, but I really like learning about it.
Okay, any particular type of history, like U.S. history, world history?
I think in general.
Okay, like, just all history?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And spoiler alert, if you go to Boys College, which we'll talk about at the end, you'll get to do church history.
Yes.
Which is like this whole different, if you like history, you will love church history.
Yeah, I loved when we went and talked about like the Baptist church, like Southern Baptist church. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
Like the Baptist history and all that. Yes. Okay. So history. I also love history. I love U.S. history and church history in particular. And so very cool. Okay. So history. Let's do another softball. All right. I'm warming up. Okay. What's your favorite color?
Purple.
Favorite animal?
A dog, probably.
That is terrible.
I don't know. I like dogs. I don't know. I'm not. For a while, it was a turtle.
A turtle? Like a I like turtle. Dog to me. Dog to me is just boring. And you're not a boring person, Peyton.
Yeah.
You need to switch it to turtle.
Okay, it's turtle again then.
Okay. I'm also not a dog fan. Did you know that? I'm not a a fan of dogs.
I love dogs.
What kind of dog are we talking about?
Like
one that's always in your face, nipping at your ankles?
No, I don't like little dogs.
No.
Because they're too close to cats, and I really don't like cats.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, cats are kind of, I don't like cats at all. Yeah. But, like, I like big dogs, you know?
But then they'll attack you and you're dead.
No. They're like, not all of them are like that, you know? Sometimes they're like, sweet, you know?
I don't know. True story. This just goes into my loathing of dogs. Me and my family were riding in Galbert City on a golf cart, and a beagle, which are, like, usually pretty nice dogs, comes up and attacks my wife. I'm not even kidding.
Is that like,
yes. Like, just starts biting her ankles with our kids in the car, and I'm like, bro, I hate dogs.
I got bit by a dog when I was little because I was tying a bandana on my dog because me and Briley were trying to give our dogs a dog wedding. And it...
Because that's what friends do.
Yeah, we had a dog wedding, which it didn't work out because I got bit. And, like, I had to go to the ER and had to see if there were teeth in my arm. But it was okay because I still like dogs.
Yeah, you're not me. You're better than I. Let's go... It's easy, but it calls you to think.
Okay.
What is your favorite book of the Bible?
I know, like, a lot of people have already said this, but usually it's the one I'm, like, already reading. But I think, like, all-time, like, favorite is probably James. I really like James.
Yeah,
really
okay. Good. A hidden gem.
Yeah.
Not many people, I think, would say James, but it is an excellent New Testament book. Okay, in our Friends of Jesus series. So, church, we're walking through Friends of Jesus on Sunday mornings during Sunday school. We're going through all the close friends. We've covered most of the disciples at this point. Mm-hmm. Who is your favorite, right? Like, who is the disciple that's like, oh, I'm gonna get some coffee with that guy. He's cool.
For a while, I was like, I would always say Peter, but now I'm like, okay, but Peter, like, yes, he's so faithful, but, like, sometimes it's a little bit annoying, you know? I'm like, just, like, calm down a little bit. But now I would say John.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Beloved. Yes. Like, I really love John, like, seeing how faithful he is to Jesus.
Yeah, so I give him caricatures, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And John is the teacher's pet who pretends he's not the teacher's pet. Do you have any of that in you? Are you kind of like John? Is that why you like John?
I don't know, maybe. Like, maybe a little bit, but...
That's okay, yeah. Which disciple do you think you're most like? How about that? I'm putting you on the spot.
Wait, this is kind of hard. Honestly, like, I feel like Andrew, though.
Okay.
You know?
Andrew is awesome. Well, I think...
I really like Andrew, too.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard to pick.
Yes, when we studied Andrew, I felt like collectively almost everyone walked away just like, Andrew's my guy.
Yeah, I really like Andrew. Because, like, I think sometimes, like, I want to be the Peter.
Yeah.
You know, like, be in the spotlight. But also, it's like, once I'm in the spotlight, I'm like, wait, this is, like, a little scary. Like, I don't know if I actually want to do that. So.
Oh, that's good. I love Andrew as well. Man, that's excellent. How about now you tell us... Just something random, something obscure. Maybe I know it, maybe I don't.
Okay.
But maybe like just your family and closest friends know it. Something that you just like, this is on my chest. I got to get it out of the world. This is who I really am.
Okay, this, I've been thinking about it because I'm like, I don't really know. A lot of times I'm an open book. But when I was like 12 or 13, like in middle school, I had like an actual obsession with tomahawk throwing and axe throwing.
No.
Yeah, my 13th birthday party was axe throwing.
That's
in my
so
front yard.
Cool. That is awesome.
Yeah, I had like a whole board and I like after school, I would go in my garage and grab like all the different kinds and axe throwing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Okay. I've never been axe throwing. I know we have like men's events at heart and I've just never gotten to make it.
Yeah.
So like, are you good?
Not now, probably. I would say probably not now, but, like, my grandpa taught me how, like, when I was younger, like, when we would okay. go visit family, we'd always go, and he had a bunch, and I was like, you know what, I want some.
How do you get the handle to not, like, how do you get the sharp edge to it? I just don't get it. I don't understand.
I don't know. There has been a couple times it's, like, been thrown back to me, and I had to move out of the way, but, like, I honestly don't really know. Like, sometimes it would just stick, sometimes okay. I wouldn't.
So is it luck?
Yeah.
Okay. The world has spoken. Fate has spoken. Axe throwing is all
luck.
Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Now I feel good about myself. All right. Let's move into more of a spiritual section.
Okay.
Because I know, again, I've known you for a long time now. I've got to see you do incredible things for Jesus. And I know for a fact that Jesus is the Lord of your life. It is clear and obvious in everything you do and say and how you live your life. Christ is Lord. And so how about we go back to the beginning of that story, right? And tell us how that began. How did Christ become your Lord?
Okay, so I grew up in a home that like believed in Jesus, and I was baptized as a baby. And there were a lot of trials throughout my childhood. And because of that, I think it just caused a lot of anxiety. And anxiety controlled me. It defined who I was. Every move was made by anxiety. I couldn't leave my parents' side. Just absolutely terrified of me, and I think like of everything. And I was a very shy kid, which is kind of funny to think because I'm not as shy now, but like I feel like I'm a little bit bubbly then. Mm-hmm. I like wouldn't even say a word. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Murray from Ohio, and that was a really hard transition for me because mm-hmm. I didn't have any family, didn't have any friends, and so anxiety was just as bad, especially going to school. But we always went to church. My dad has this really cool testimony. Mm-hmm. And so I would kind of live in his testimony because he had this radical faith. Mm-hmm. And I got to live through and like see it. I was like, I'm saved. Like, I'm going to go to heaven because of his. Like, I would die in my father's faith. Mm-hmm. Like, literally. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I was like, okay, like, that's where it ends. And my parents would always teach me the gospel. We would read the Bible together, going to church on Sundays. And I was like, yeah, like, I believe in God. And that's where it ended. I didn't know that my love for the Father could go any deeper. And then we started going to Hardin, switch churches in fourth grade. And I really enjoyed it because I had friends who were going there. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is fun. And then still had, like, just hard circumstances going on in life. And I kind of started to question, I'm like, God, are you real? And if you are, why are you allowing horrible things to happen to me? And just like in the world, like I was starting to get to the age where I started to understand there was a lot of persecution everywhere. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't just me. And I was like, why would a good God allow that?
Yeah.
And so in sixth grade, I started going to Hardin, and my heart really started to stir in this. I think since I was also baptized as a baby, I was kind of like, okay, I'm saved because that's what saves me. And I have the simple belief that Jesus did die on a cross and come back. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have mm-hmm. doubt about that really.
Right.
And then like a chase, like I just remember your sermons and I was like, I don't really have a relationship with Jesus though. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't really pray. I don't read my Bible. Like I know the basic knowledge, but like, I don't have a relationship and I didn't even know what that meant. And so I was kind of like out of the like doubting period. I was like, or like denial. I was kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm not Christian. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not saved and I know I'm going to hell. And oh, I forgot to mention this part, but all throughout my childhood, like I would say like, yes, I'm going to heaven, but I was terrified of death. Like terrified of death. And I didn't know why. I'm like, I believe in Jesus. Like I don't know why I'm scared to die, but like I really am.
Yeah.
And so one night I was 13. It was after a Super Bowl party, and I went home and I was just scrolling on YouTube and I came across a testimony online, and it was just some random girl, and I started listening to it, and I was like, man, like this is really good. Mm. She's talking about heaven and hell and eternity. Mm. And how she went through really hard things as well in her life, but she still came to Christ. And I was like, what? And then and then she's talking about eternity, and she's like, this life is like literally a blink of an eye compared to eternity. Mm. And like I remember I just got goosebumps, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so even though I didn't fully understand what it meant to give my life to Christ, I was like, Jesus, I want you. I don't want my sin anymore. And it was a literal like just heart switch, like heart transformation. And I remember I got up, I was crying, and I like was walking to my living room to go talk to my dad about it. And I just felt like physical weight lifted off my shoulders. Wow. And I was like, I'm saved. Like, I know I am. Like, this is a feeling I've never experienced in my life. And wow. I was like, if I wasn't baptized as a baby, then I would get baptized now. And then some months went by, went through hard circumstances, and my I mean, I was still rooted in faith. Right. I mean, there were some hard things going on because I thought once you gave your life to Christ, everything was going to be good. It turns out it's not actually like it's not always like that. And sometimes the circumstances don't change, but the Lord's still faithful just the same. And so I then started to want to learn more about baptism because I was hearing a lot of different things. Baptism is what you do when you're a baby or when you come to Christ. And I had family that believed certain things and the church believed different things. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of tired of hearing opinions. I was like, it's time to get in the Word and figure this out for once and for all. And so in total, I think it was a year and a half. And I read in 2022, I read through a lot of books of the Bible and I just came to my conclusion. I was like, okay, I need to get baptized because it's an outward side of an inward faith. Mm-hmm. And so I told my parents about it and they were not on board at all. And so I waited a year just in prayer for my dad or for either of my parents. And my dad was like, you know what? I'm going to look into it too. A year later, my dad was like, yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think baptism is an outward sign of an inward faith. And he was like, you can get baptized, but my mom still wasn't on board. So it was another year. So at this point, I was praying throughout my junior year.
Yeah.
And I was like, Lord, like, I just need you to soften her heart, you know, like how you did for my dad. And then it was towards the end of, it was December of 2024. And I was like, I was getting really frustrated. I'm like, I'm just going to get baptized. And so I went to talk to you. And I was like, I don't know what else to do. Yeah. Like, I've exhausted all my options. Like, I'm trying to honor my parents. But this is just such a call from the Lord. And, like, my parents aren't my God. Like, I can't worship them. And so I went home that night. And I was like, Mom, like, I need to get baptized. And she had been seeing how much I love the Lord and how I've stayed faithful to Him.
Yeah.
And how, like, I've been able to lead some really close friends to Christ. And she was like, honestly, Patie, she's like, yeah, you can get baptized. And I would just have the biggest smile and I was so excited. So like, I think it was the last Sunday of the end of the year and I got baptized. And it was like, I guess, close to 4 years of waiting, but it was so amazing. And I grew in the Lord so much through all that time of just absolutely. Having to get in the Word to understand absolutely. What baptism is.
Yes. But, yes. Oh, that it's an incredible story. I love getting to hear it because getting to just kind of sit in the bleachers as this story right. plays along, it to see your patience, to see your resolve, to see your theology blossom, right? Like, I mean, I think I'm a Baptist, right? And I think right. what the Baptists believe about baptism is right because that's what the Bible says. But you didn't just take my word for that. You didn't just take Brother Ricky or Corey's word for that. You didn't just take your parents' word for that. You didn't just take the world's word for that. You got in God's word. And you said, Lord, show me, what is this? Like, what is baptism? And because he's so faithful and because of your discipline and diligence to study and search the scriptures, he gave you the answer. And you want to say it one more time, like, what is the definition of baptism?
It's an outward sign of an inward faith.
An outward sign of an inward faith. We go in the waters and out of the waters to identify with Christ and show the world, show the church. That we have died with Christ, we are now alive with Christ, and we are His, and He is ours, right? And so, such an incredible story, and just thank you for the encouragement. Like during that time, that 4 years of waiting, you could have been like, "I'm out, like I'm not doing this. Like I'll just get baptized in college when I'm 21 or 18." But you said, "No, I'm gonna stay patient." I'm going to stay persistent.
Yeah.
And it ended up in you getting dunked in the water in front of the church.
It was so rewarding. Not to say that it wasn't hard. And a lot of times I'd be like, God, just say that baptism is what you do when you're a baby. Because I don't want to go through the hard things. I was like, I really don't. Mm-hmm. But then, I mean, just the conviction. And that's when I started to learn, like, what conviction felt like for me through that. And I was like, okay, this is undeniable. Mm-hmm. And I can't not do what the Lord calls me to do.
Amen. Yeah, and I think if you're a listener here, like I hope you take encouragement from the story. Even this morning at our 7:50 service, we had a man in his mid-60s get baptized. Wow. And it's just like, and same for you. Like you got baptized as a baby. You could have used that as a, I'm good. Like, and right. this guy is like, well, I'm 60. Isn't that like something?
Yeah.
But if you're out there and you're listening and you've come to faith in Jesus Christ but have never experienced a biblical baptism, like, I pray that you take encouragement from Peyton. And first, you search the scriptures for yourself, right? Like, figure out what baptism is. And it is just that, an outward sign of an inward faith, an inward reality. And if you haven't had a biblical baptism, we encourage you to seek someone out. Seek Peyton out. Seek myself out. Seek your pastor out. And do what the Lord had commanded us to do, which is to be baptized and identify with him in his death and resurrection. So thank you for sharing that story. What has life been like since you've come to Christ? And I think even for your particular story, mm-hmm. since you've been baptized.
Since I've been baptized?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
We're understanding those aren't the same thing.
Yes.
Just for our listeners. She was saved 4 years, but she was baptized. So, yeah, what's life been like since then?
It's been very good. I mean, I think circumstances haven't been that great, but my joy and my foundation, I mean, it stayed the same throughout it all. And I've just been able to fall more in love with Jesus Christ because of that. And I've just been able to make him my true rock. Like, I think there have been times in my life, even as a believer, where I would just try to really rely on my friends. And I'm like, they are godly friends, and that's great, but they're not Christ. Like, right. Unfortunately, like, we sin against each other. Like, we hurt each other. But, like, the one thing that remains the same, like I said, is Jesus. And so just being able to really know who he is better and just truly trusting in him, because saying you trust in him and doing it is really hard, and it can be two different things.
Yeah.
Like, just having true trust, I'm like, once I remember the first time I felt it, I was like, wow, this is real trust. Like, I'm actually not scared.
Yeah.
Like, I know that he holds the future.
That's right.
And so it's so comforting knowing that I don't have to.
Amen. Amen. Man, that is so awesome. Yeah, thank you for sharing that as well. Let's talk about some spiritual disciplines.
Okay.
Because to go into the case for baptism, right? Thinking about Lee's struggle there, did a case for Christ.
Yes.
You did a case for baptism. You need to write a book.
That's actually what my idea came from.
Okay, yes. I love Lee Strobel, Case for Christ. So you're going to write the case for baptism.
Yep.
If he hasn't already. I don't know. He probably has. He wrote the case for everything. So say all that to say, clearly you were disciplined during that time, and I think those disciplines have continued. They've stayed. So what are some of your favorite spiritual disciplines that you've immersed yourself in and the Lord has been faithful to reveal himself to you and grow you in your faith?
So obviously prayer and Bible reading is my number one. I think like that's how you talk to the Lord and how he'll speak to you. Like that's just how like a conversation goes and how a relationship will work. But as of right now, fasting has been a big one. I haven't this month, but I was like trying to like once a month. I went through like a 3-day fast, like just having dinner each night. And during it, I was like, Lord, I don't really know how you're going to work through this. I'm like, because this doesn't feel very good, actually. I'm like, are you sure you're going to move? And then after that, I mean, my relationship with the Lord just became so strong. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to do this more because just like, I mean, honestly, just being so hungry, it's like I'm physically hungry, but I'm like spiritually hungry
Amen.
Too. Like
Amen.
I need, like it reminds me of how much I need
Amen.
Him.
Amen. And I love, this isn't my own, I don't know who I've heard this from, but when you search the scriptures about fasting, it doesn't say if you fast, it says when you fast.
Yes.
And so it's commands, right? Just
yeah.
like reading the Bible, just like praying, those aren't like optional Christian add-ons.
Right.
Like, hey, you're a Christian, you should probably read your Bible
mm-hmm.
if you get the chance. Like, hey, search the scriptures day and night. That's what the Bible says.
Yes.
You know, continually pray, and it's when you fast. And so
mm-hmm.
I love seeing teenagers. It doesn't mean a weekly thing, right? But incorporating in the rhythms, maybe it's quarterly, maybe it's monthly,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's once a year. It's going to be different for everybody, but it's when
yeah.
you fast. And what you see in that and what you've gotten to experience is you're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And that hunger tells you something about God. How much more do you need him than a slice of bread, right? Like
yes.
it's God that our hearts and souls truly hunger and thirst over.
Mm-hmm.
Man, so that's awesome. Let's talk about people in your life who have really impacted you for Christ, who have really helped you grow. Let's say you can go as long as you want,
okay.
but you know, minimum two people. Let's go maximum like five people in your life that you'd love to just go on record saying, thank you so-and-so for doing this.
Okay. So obviously you, I think like that's, your teaching has just poured into me so much, especially throughout baptism and having
right.
that encouragement. And Maggie Grant, of course, I'm still in touch with her.
Shout
and
out.
Like, there's times I just send her a video. I'm like, hey Maggie, I know it's 12 a.m., but I really need your advice on this. Like, I don't know.
That's
and
awesome.
Then, so though you two have been such a light. And then I would also say my parents, just, I mean, obviously they aren't perfect, but it would have been so easy for them to walk away from the faith through the challenges we faced, like, as I was growing up, but instead they remained faithful, and their faithfulness has shown to me, and I'm like, okay, like, I'm not going to leave when it's hard, like, staying consistent, and that just has really impacted my walk, like, just not leaving and seeing that. And then I would say Hallie and Briley and Emma, I think those are all really great friends. I mean, Emma doesn't go to school with me, but I mean, I think I can always rely on them for some biblical advice, and it's just so sweet to have friendships like that.
Yeah, what a crew. That's a good one. Love each one of those people that you mentioned. Just so grateful for them and how they've impacted your walk, and also how I know I can say this about all five of those people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? That you have also impacted their walk, right? Through your faithfulness, through your encouragement, through who God has made you to be. All of those people, myself and Maggie included, I guarantee you that you have impacted us as well. And so we want to say thank you for that. Now, let's think about what's ahead, okay? Let's think about what's ahead, because right before fall break, I wrote a recommendation letter. Which it wasn't like a letter, it was more like a questionnaire.
Okay.
But for Boyce College. Yes. And man, I did good, baby. I did good. I didn't even have to do good. You were going to get in either way. But you got in. So what is next for Peyton?
So, I mean, unless the Lord just radically says, nope, I actually want you somewhere else, I'm going to Boyce, and I guess 2026 of the fall. I'm really excited. Me and Briley are planning to room together.
Excellent.
And I'm hoping to study like women's ministry or youth ministry. That's what I'm going for. At first, I was like, I'm going to teach. And then I started mentoring, like, actually my kindergarten teacher, who's now a third grade teacher. And I was like, I'm not teaching. I was like, that's not my ministry. Like, I don't think so. Like, that's just, I don't think that's where he's called me, but I just love people, and I just want to like be able to build those relationships and just really learn more about the Word and the Bible. And I just think like Boyce is just such a great place from that. And so I'm really excited to see what the Lord has to offer through all of it.
Amen. Amen. So Boyce College, Lord willing.
Yes.
Boyce College next fall to study either youth ministry or women's ministry. Praise the Lord. That is going to be awesome. In the hopes of getting to disciple either youth or girls or women in the context of the local church. Is that right there?
Yes.
Man, I can think a few people that are better for that job than you right there here, Peyton. So I cannot wait to see what the Lord does through those things. And I just to give a shout out one more time, I think it's appropriate at the end for like a Maggie Grant, who has who we miss dearly, who both of us just love her so much. She has shown you what it looks like to not only be a disciple, but to disciple.
Yes.
And so I think that bug you have, that affection you have for discipleship really comes from being discipled by one of the best of the best. So that is awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the We Got Now podcast.
Yes.
It was such a joy, church, for you to get to meet Peyton Conklin, for her to get to come on the podcast. Next week, we'll have yet another Senior Spotlight. But until then, peace.